Good morning. I think we can go ahead and let's begin. I think we have a very exciting session, and I would like to leave every minute possible for the presentations and an engaged set of discussions to follow. My name is Sala Panapasa. I'm an assistant research scientist at the University of Michigan Institute for Social Research. And welcome to all to this special session entitled Evidence-Based Research and Policy for Health Equity Among Asian and Pacific Islander Communities. My reference to the Pacific Islander population and communities is representative of the OMB racial category, Native Hawaiian and other Pacific Islanders. As you all know, understanding the health of our diverse Asian, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander population in the U.S. is complicated, in part by the lack of routine data collection and the availability of robust data on our diverse populations. The population is very diverse, culturally, historically, demographically, socially, and economically. And I'm sure you share the same sentiment, you know, we have a huge responsibility of assuring that every respective group is understood and that their needs are addressed. New data collection efforts, however, over the recent decade or last two decades, have helped to sort of push this agenda and help address the existing data limitations associated with our respective populations. And the emphasis and the need and recognition of the need for evidence-based information, for health policy, for guiding and informing our interventions and programs are essential. And with that said, this session, these were the sort of guidelines or guiding principles that were used to help identify the outstanding presentations for this session. So we have four very talented, outstanding researchers, advocates, in their own right, who have a history of doing outstanding scientific evidence-based research. And what I would like to do is introduce our speakers to you and invite them to present. Our first speaker is Dr. Ninez Ponce. And she will be. She is a professor at the University of California, Los Angeles. Dr. Ponce is also the principal investigator of an outstanding data set, which is the California Health Interview Survey. And she is here to share her expertise and insight on the data, and I hope it will motivate members to work with this data set and see it as a potential resource for your own research and publication. I will follow as the next presenter, focusing on work that I've been involved in attempts to address the data limitations and provide meaningful evidence-based information on the health of our growing Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander population. Our third speaker is Dr. Simona Kwon, an assistant professor with the New York University School of Medicine, Department of Population Health. Dr. Kwon is also the director of the New York University Center for the Study of Asian American Health. Welcome. And our fourth speaker is Dr. Yutaka Aoki, Senior Service Fellow for the Division of the Health and Nutrition Examination Survey with the National Center for Health Statistics, Centers for Disease Control. So please give me, let's applaud our speakers, and meanwhile I would like to invite Dr. Ponce to give the first presentation.
Thank you, Dr. Panapasa, and thank you for the invitation to join this group. It's like homecoming every time I come to APHA. It's so good to see friends and colleagues over the years. But before I do that, I have to do a plug for our booth, the Center for Health Policy Research. We have these cute Bruin stress balls, and I may actually use it along the way if I get nervous. Or there might be some hard questions. I also believe Dr. Panapasa advised us that we can reserve the questions till the end of all the presentations because there's going to be some synergies, some intersections, and some filling in the gaps. So good morning. I'd like to acknowledge my colleague, Jane Kill, who is in charge of the questionnaire development in the California Health Interview Survey. She helped me put this presentation together. I have no relationships to disclose that are relevant to here. The agenda will be a CHIS introduction, just a quick, since I am in the business of survey research, how many people here have not heard of the California Health Interview Survey? Okay, I could skip that if I if there's an interest of time. Then a bit about the sampling, the methods, how do we do it, and how do we do this to ensure that there is representation both linguistically and culturally, geographically. Key health issues, so a little preview of Asian American ethnic group and Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander ethnic group, key health issues, and then I used to have several slides on the different sampling and data estimation strategies moving forward, but now I have a summary slide because I think this can take a lot of discussion time, and we can talk about this ensemble at the end. Everybody's heard of CHIS, but it is still the most comprehensive source of health data on California's diverse population. We're going strong. We've been collecting data since 2001, and so we collected data in 2001, 3, 5, 7, I have to count it, 9, 11, 12, 13, 14, we're closing in 13, 14, and we're ramping up and have almost all of our commitments to move forward for the next cycle, which would be the 8th cycle of CHIS, which is 2015-2016. We interview about 50,000 in total Californians, adults, teens, and children. In the early days, when response rates were much better in telephone, we had over 50,000 households. It has declined over time, but we do have a floor of 40,000 households, so between 40 and 48,000 households. And again, it's also teens and children, not just adults. And there's a subsample of just where you can combine this to have a family file. The data is used by lots of people. It is data to inform social change, policy change, reduce inequities, and that data is freely available, and we do try to get it as current as possible and as fresh as possible so it doesn't sit on a shelf. It can be accessed online. The go-to URL is www.chis.ucla.edu, and under that then you'll see some of the ways to get the data, either through, if you're a researcher, a public use file, if you're a researcher that wants to, say, do geocoding or look at sensitive issues like some mental health and sexual orientation domains, then there is a data access center. And then there's also a web query that's freely available, Ask CHIS. And then towards the end, I'll talk about Ask CHIS Neighborhood Edition, which we just launched a week ago, that gets at small area estimation. It's telephone. We became continuous in 2011, meaning we are in the field every day, I think every day except New Year's Day, when nobody wants to answer their phone, but every day. It's a random digit dial telephone survey. It's random, so it would produce statistically reliable estimates, but it has to be large. It has to be large to get at county-level estimates in California. And also, I think what people don't know is there are two fundamental tenets of CHIS. It's to have a survey large and representative enough to get at county-level estimates. But the second fundamental tenet of CHIS is that we will provide statewide estimates for racial ethnic groups and, if possible, racial ethnic subgroups. And that's like in our bylaws in CHIS, and we have to uphold to that. It doesn't mean it's not challenging, and you'll see as we go on in this presentation. We choose one adult from each household, and then if there's an associated teen and a child, we interview the teen and the child. We're funded by several public and private entities, and there are very many across the years, but a constant entity has been the California Department of Public Health, the Department of Healthcare Services, and the California Endowment. All right, sampling, translation, and cultural adaptation. My backstory is I was an advocate before I was in the designer role in CHIS. So I was an advocate for the Asian American and Pacific Islander Health Forum many, many years ago. And at that time, we wanted representation of Asian subgroup data. So we went to NHIS, very open to that. But at that time it was, we can't oversample, it's too expensive. We can't do the survey in several languages. Too many Asian languages, too many Pacific Islander languages. So I was thrilled back in 1999 when I started my assistant professor job, and the first thing my first job was an invitation from the founding CHIS director, principal investigator E. Richard Brown, who said, "We're doing a survey. You want to join?" And it was great. It was all the dreams materializing. You know, you're at now at the other side of the table and in the driver's seat and making the design. So we do have oversamples. And the criteria for oversamples is that they are groups. We want to get at ethnic subgroups within the large OMB groups, as Selah had mentioned. But they have to be large enough that we can catch them in a telephone survey. So, for example, we can't oversample Hmong, and Cambodian is very close in some areas. We can't sample, at this point, Native Hawaiian Pacific Islanders, oversample. But so it has to be sort of groups that are on the brink of being representational enough so that additional oversample can get at good solid estimates. We oversample for Koreans and Vietnamese. We've been doing this since 2001, and it's based on geographic high density targeting and a surname list sample. I'll also call a surname list sample as an administrative sample. Then we also, just recently through one of our funders, interested in Japanese Americans and their social engagement, their giving back across generations and also across multiracial populations within a Japanese American, the JA population. So this, whereas the Koreans and Vietnamese is largely a surname list sample, the Japanese were doing something interesting, a little different, because this group wanted to make sure that multiracial Japanese would be sampled. It's a bit of a challenge, but what we're doing right now is we're doing surnames and given names. And so we have a surname list. We have Sadao Watanabe. Sadao Watanabe would be like one list, which is first and last name. And then we would have Tom Watanabe would be in another list. And then we would have then, and then what's left? Then we'd have Sadao Smith on another list. So we do this differential sampling to try to get at the multiracial. So thinking that Sadao Smith is multiracial. It's a bit of a stretch, but it's what we can do with the surname list. We also, since this is Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islanders, but I do want to also put an FYI, we also oversample in when the census is taking place for American Indians, Alaska Natives. And we do that with registries from IHS. Again, another administrative oversample. We interview in English, Spanish, in Cantonese, Mandarin, in Korean, in Vietnamese, and starting in 2014, based on the 2010 census, where our criteria is both linguistic isolation as well as, again, a population large enough that we can catch in this telephone survey, we started interviewing Tagalog. So it's not because I'm a Tagalog speaker and I decided to do Tagalog, but in fact, it's been a long time coming, because even from the very beginning in 2001, I'd make these presentations to Filipino communities and they'd say, why don't you do it in Tagalog? Why don't you do it in Tagalog? And I said, we got to have criteria. We want to be as omnibus as possible, but I'm also an economist. We need to have a frontier. We have to have a parameter. We have to have criteria. Translated questions, I'm happy to say, are finally available online. These are free to use, so if you are conducting surveys in your communities, that we do have the translations. Now, I have never met anyone or any translated instrument where 100% of people love it. So it is open for criticism, and we hope that we hope that the crowdsourced criticism is going to make it a better product. So please download it. If you have any questions about it, please let us know. Translation and cultural adaptation goes through, basically it's not forward and backward, but it's multiple, at least two forwards, and then a meeting with a certified translator, and then some adjudication that occurs. There's also a review by the interviewers, because the interviewers have to make sure that it is understandable, the spoken word is understandable on the telephone. It's not just about language translation, but it's also about cultural and in English simplification. So that goes part of it with every new item in CHIST. So the key health issues, about starting this year, we produced racial ethnic health profiles. This is based on CHIST 2011-2012. And we have, they're downloadable as PDFs. What we found is that while we have, you know, data sets to download and a web query system, advocates have told me, I just want something where I can print it, put it in my hand, throw it in the face of the people. This is what I want. So we actually have PDFs of digested data reports, and I'm happy to say that we have it by racial ethnic subgroups. Not all, but again, a beginning. So in California, Asian Americans among adults make up about 14% of the population. And so this is some of the findings from the health profiles. This is in aggregate groups. And I know this is the group that tends to hate aggregation, but this is, let's just have a first view of the Asian aggregate group. The proportion uninsured among Asians, and I was told I should use my mouse because I'll get, is about 20%. And in California, Latinos have one of the highest rates of being uninsured. And what's behind this Asian aggregate group, though, is if you decompose it to different Asian ethnic groups, you'll find that among Koreans actually have uninsured rates that are close to Latinos, not about the same high rates of Latinos. So hence another reason why this aggregation is important for policy attention. For health access and utilization, and as I said, one of the highest uninsured rates, actually 46.5%, it's quite high. About 60% of Asian American adults reported having employer-based health insurance in the past year. So this infographic, it's Asians are here, looks pretty good. It looks like it's better than California average and about the same as non-Hispanic, non-Latino whites. But again, if it's disaggregated, that you do have this variation. And Koreans, where there's a lot of self-employed, actually have one of the lowest rates of job-based coverage. And this is for So 70% of Asian American adults report having no usual source of care. And here we're juxtaposing, I think what's interesting with the Asian American population in my years of studying them is there seems to be, they have a foot in the assets, like having insurance, having jobs, having great education, but they're not, it's not translating to better access. So kind of as a high level view on the patterns I've been seeing. And what's emerging that I'm seeing too is that even though Asian Americans have low rates of obesity, given these low rates of obesity, they actually have pretty high diabetes rates. And I think this is again emerging in this population. And the problem with that is that if there's a misperception or a stereotype that Asians are not at risk for diabetes because they're not obese, then I think that there's going to be this missed opportunity and this is going to happen. So now, Native Hawaiian population. So to get this, we had to pull a lot of years of data. So this isn't just 2001 and 2011-12. This is 2001, 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, 12, because this population is so small to get at in a population representative study. But we pulled this and combined data through all these GIST cycles to get at Native Hawaiian. This is Native Hawaiian, not NHPI, Native Hawaiian data. The light blue bars are Native Hawaiian, and the darker blue bars are for California. And these are for different indicators of income, uninsured, no usual source of care, delayed prescription or medical care, low income and are food insecure, and you see a higher, where there's a several higher, so being a high bar is not, this group is faring worse than California, average, current asthma, higher, diabetes. These are just point estimates. We didn't put the confidence intervals, but gives you a general direction, obesity higher, of where this population, what the prevalence rates are for this population compared to the state average. Fruits and vegetables, 3 or more times a day consumption is quite good for this group, but current smoking is not so good. For Samoan, we see, again, also a visual for those of you who don't have eagle eyes to see all of these things down here, that the higher the light bar, then the worse generally, except for fruits and vegetables consumption over here, where you do want to have a higher rate. And again, big jumps, you know, compared to the California state average. And the biggest jump here is obesity. 21.6% obesity rate for California and close to 50% for Samoan. For Tongan population, very similar in terms of what the risks are compared to the Samoan population. And these are available, freely available for those of you who would like to take this. So the strategies. And I believe this is close to my last slide. I would really like to do a better job in getting more Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander representation in GIST. I think it's sort of our last frontier. American Indians, Alaska Native, we do an oversample. We did one in 2001. We did one in 2011-12. So the Native Hawaiian and the Pacific Islander population, however, an enclave, like a big group, is 2% to 5% more. So it's a challenge in an RDD survey, in a random digit dial survey. Can we do better? Yes. Can we do better and make it and fold it in to a population-based study? We may not be able to do that. It may end up being a separate special sample, but that'd be hard to put in a population-based study. So we could look at sampling lists, which it's our go-to right now. I mean, it's what we know what to do. We use it for Koreans, surname list for Koreans, for Vietnamese, the Japanese oversample that I mentioned. I think for Native Hawaiian, Samoan, and Tongan, I'm hoping that we can talk, discuss in these groups if the Estonian lists are available. I heard that they are for Native Hawaiians, and it's harder to get, which is surprising to me, for Samoan and Tongan. Address-based sampling, this is another way is to get addresses, say, in areas in California that have a high density of Native Hawaiian Pacific Islanders, East Palo Alto, Carson in the south, get the addresses, but then push them to phone. Again, we're sticking with the mode of telephone. So we find them by sending something in the mail, and then they send us back their phone number or their cell number. Oh, by the way, CHIS is both landline and cell phone. And starting in 2015, we're going to go to 50% landline cell phone. Right now it's 20% cell phone. Respondent-driven sampling, it's a fancy way of saying snowball sampling. So we can try to do this RDS sampling, which might be, you know, really relevant. Go to churches, go to communities where we find what's called seeds, and then, but they're random, and then they can recruit for us. So there's still some bit of randomness about it. And then small area domain estimation. At the end of, you know, my hotel is on Orleans Street where there's a touchdown Jesus like this. So if we can't touch down on collecting data because it's prohibitively expensive, and it's not so much that we're willing to pay, because absolutely we're willing to pay for it in art because to represent the community, as Sela said, but it's also then it crowds out resources to do something else as well. So if it becomes too cost prohibitive, another idea is then to use small area domain estimation. We were able to pull all that data from CHIS that maybe we can use the data from 2001 to 2011-12 and then zoom in, say, on Carson, zoom in on East Palo Alto, and use small area estimation. And this is modeled estimates. These are indirect estimates. They're not exactly you know, what people say. Like, it's not a respondent saying, in Carson, I had a hard time understanding my doctor. But it's big data-ish. But if we borrow the strength from good data like CHIS, and we have key informants from our multicultural groups and our constituents to say these assumptions make sense, then I think it might be a viable alternative. And so I wanted to thank you, and please visit us.